Please be seated and turning your Bibles to Revelation 2:14. And we're last few weeks we've covered three of the seven churches, three of the seven letters from Jesus to the churches that were in Asia at the time: Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos last week, the compromising church. And each one of these letters were dealing with the church that actually existed in Asia at the time, but as we've been emphasizing, also did a pattern of history. They were like where the church started and then how it progressed through history. We're getting towards the last days church, but in each one of these churches, there's been that type of church, even in our culture throughout history. And what we've been covering last week is how immorality played such a part, the devil using immorality to come into the church. The doctrine of Balaam we covered last week that came into the church and corrupted. And I meant to ask a question last week just to let us see if that's, even though that was an actual church first century, and it was an era where the word of God was taken away from the people, they no longer had the word to have the Holy Spirit convict their lives of sin because the priests took over and then used their knowledge of the word and their wanting to corrupt the people and to get money off of the people, kept them in the dark. So the dark ages came and there was all kinds of immorality and confusion because people didn't have the word of God. So then immorality was what came in. And so even though that was that period of history, it's also in the world today because much of the church has turned away and our culture has turned away from the word of God. And so let me ask the question, how many of you, your families, your immediate families, yourselves, your immediate father, son, brothers, sisters, and everything, have not been impacted by what the Bible would call sexual immorality? How many hands have people not impacted in any way in your family? Let the record show, not a single hand in this room. So have we been corrupted in this world? And what the Bible calls sexual immorality, homosexuality, adultery, fornication, sex outside of marriage, incest, everything else, all this stuff. And so the devil has been very effective in getting his favorite tool into our society and even into the church. And so the reason we teach this, the reason I'm covering this, because of the next church is also dealing with immorality, that you allow this Jezebel to be in your church, and we're going to cover that. The reason I covered it is because God covered it, and he made a big deal about it. So much of what he's warning the church about is over this issue because he knows how corrupting it is. And when I was in the Navy, in the nuclear Navy, you know, Admiral Rickover, he wanted his people not to melt down his reactor cores, and so what he did is he was a brilliant man. He was a brilliant admiral that was the father of the nuclear power program. And whenever anybody did something wrong on a submarine or a surface ship that was nuclear, an instant report was made, and it was sent through the entire nuclear Navy, and everybody had to read it. Why? Because he wanted us to learn the easy way. Like, oh, that guy left that valve out of position, and that smoked the ion exchanger and cost millions of dollars and made the ship be unavailable for the nuclear Navy mission for months, and, you know, oh, I never want to leave that valve out of position. I want to do this and do that, you know, that kind of stuff. And this is the same way. I want everybody here to look at your own life before we get started in the service. Has immorality come in any way into your life? And then read the incident. This is incident report. You know, the Bible is an incident report of how corruption utterly corrupts and brings disaster. And so to let it just say, no, you know, no. Because you know what? If we don't keep it out of our life, we lose our witness. And we had a horrible example of that this week in the news, which we'll cover. So let's read 2:14, going back to last week, 2:14 through 17 as a review, and then we'll get into the next church, Thyatira. But I have a few things against you because you have there those who hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel to eat things sacrificed to idols and to commit sexual immorality. We covered all this last week. Thus you also have those who hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Corrupt people saying it. So, hey, Jesus died on the cross for our sins. Why not just sin? You ever heard that before? I have. You know, just that kind of attitude. Repent. or else I will come to you quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth, meaning the word of God. I'm gonna come against that church age that just took the word and allowed corruption to come in. I'm gonna do it with my mouth. The Protestant, I look at it, that the Protestant Reformation brought the word of God back to the people, and for a while it stopped sexual immorality. Remember, the Renaissance was men being mean, men protecting women, bringing in a whole hundreds of years where people said, you know, virginity is important. We got to keep it. And, you know, just the culture was that way. Lasted until basically it was pretty strong in America. Not that there wasn't loss of virginity, but it was kept, it was something that people strove to maintain until they were married, until the 60s, until 50s, 60s, when the sexual revolution hit. And then it was like, throw that out the window. We got antibiotics now, no consequences for sin. We're going to get rid of all the diseases. People can get rid of God. That was really the attitude that hit, you know, my culture. So now we've had a loss of the Word of God because people don't even care about it. And for those of you that were watching the news on Friday, and I hardly watch it anymore. Just it's too loses my peace. But I was watching. Oh, Jerry Falwell Jr. How many of you heard the Jerry Falwell Jr. news? And for those that didn't, you can Google it. It's all over. Millions of people watching. Jerry Falwell Sr. started the Moral Majority a couple, what was it, 30 years ago? Moral Majority. That we're going to take over America back for God with morality. Well, now Junior's in there. His wife is a seductress and supposedly seduced this lifeguard that went public. And I say supposedly. I wouldn't even say this because it's news. Who knows? They're fake news. Except the people that are coming to defend the Falwells are not saying he didn't do it. They're saying the guy, the former lifeguard seduced by Junior, Jerry Falwell Jr.'s wife, Becky, he's an extortioner. Doesn't say he's a slanderer and a libeler. They say he's an extortioner. And so that's the only reason I'm even mentioning it, because they're basically admitting it happened. It's just the bad guy was trying to get money off of keeping it quiet, and they just didn't give him enough money or whatever, or somebody offered him more money to get it out there. So here you have the Liberty University, the school that's supposed to put out conservative, God-fearing people in the country, one of the last, and they were asking this lifeguard that went public, Giancarlo Granda. They said, aren't you kind of scared taking on the fall? Well, I said, well, yeah, he speed dials Trump. You know, his phone has a speed dial right to Trump. And so is it harder to witness Jesus with that news on Friday? Is it harder for us to tell people about Jesus? Because here you have this bastion, Christian organization, leadership, everything else, and then immorality comes. And they're going to tell us, you know, I don't want to listen to your Jesus. Look at you guys are all hypocrites, blah, blah, blah. What's our answer to that? And this is why I'm covering it. Because you'll almost certainly, if you're witnessing to people, they're almost certainly going to, oh, what about Jerry Falwell Jr.? Well, you know, Christianity is not about Jerry Falwell Jr. It's not about Kevin Lee. It's about Jesus. You know, Jesus never assaulted anybody. He never was immoral. He never went back on anything he promised. He died on the cross for me and your sins. And he went into the grave. He rose 3 days later. He ascended into heaven, and he has made a way for you to be saved. Keep your eyes on Jesus. I don't care what people do. I expect people. In fact, to me, it's an organization, you know, when organizations get that big, it's an organization too big not to corrupt. Because if something's big and upfront and, you know, has its name in the limelight, what does that mean? Satan is going to put everything he's got to try and destroy it. Everything. And you know what? He's good at what he does. He took a third of the angels and deceived them. So really, something gets big. It's just too big to not corrupt. It's too big to stay holy. And so tell people it's not, Christianity is not about Christians. It's about, Christianity is about Jesus. And we need to keep our eyes on him. And I was going to cover Ezekiel 8. If you didn't read it, I would encourage you to, because it's so much like what's happening in the church today. is that Ezekiel was told by God, Ezekiel was taken from Babylon where he had already been taken captive. Jesus took him, God took him, spiritually, to the temple in Jerusalem. You know, it's just like transported him. And said, Ezekiel, look at what's going on here. They do religion on the outside, dig through the wall right here and get inside. They're worshiping all kinds of sexual immorality and gods of the nations around us. And I see it, and that's why I'm going to destroy Jerusalem. So God sees everything, and we're going to see that in our study today. It does destroy the witness of the church. And tragically, if you get deceived by Satan into immorality, it is going to be so hard for you to maintain your witness to the people that you witness to. And that's our mission. Our mission is to give them the truth and to have them not find something with you. Read Thessalonians, read Timothy. Paul is constantly emphasizing the need to stay holy before God so that we can share the truth. Revelation 2:17, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat. And I will give him a white stone, and the stone a new name written on it, which no one knows except him who receives it. Hidden manna. We have to die to our fleshly passions of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, so that we can take the hidden manna, angel food from God. That we can take the word of God is more important, what God says is more important than our own lust, which we all have, at least I do. We have lust that God's word can restrain and hold down. And if we don't let the word of God do that, then we're going to join the rest of the world in the debauchery and being a bad witness. So then we go to the church of Thyatira, which is the corrupt church. See, if you compromise the church, then the church gets corrupt. Hey, you compromise, then you corrupt. Verses 18 through 29, and then we'll look at the verses more closely. And to the angel of the church of Thyatira, another church out along the road in Asia, Turkey today, these things says the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and his feet like fine brass. I know your works, love, service, faith, and your patience. And as for your works, the last are more than the first. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you. Because you allow that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants, to commit sexual immorality, and eat things sacrificed to idols. And I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. Indeed, I will cast her into a sickbed, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of their deeds. I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he who searches the minds and hearts, and I will give to each one according to your works. Now to you I say, and to the rest in Thyatira, as many as do not have this doctrine, who have not known the depths of Satan, as they say, I will put on you no other burden, but hold fast what you have till I come. And he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron, and they shall be dashed to pieces like the potter's vessels, as I also have received from my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Again, going to verse 18. In the church of the angel of Thyatira, these things says the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire. This comes from chapter 1, the vision that we saw of Jesus in chapter 1. And what was the eyes of fire, like a flame of fire and feet like brass? It's like God sees what's going on. Flames of fire. You know, when you see, you can see it. You know, it's amazing how human expressions is so telling. So much can be said without saying anything. You can come home and your parents can find you doing something that you didn't do when you were a kid. And you can tell by just looking at their eyes how bad the whooping's going to be, right? And so what Jesus is saying here is flames of fire. When he sees this kind of corruption in the church, it's just like, man. And feet of bronze, which is judgment. Bronze in the Bible is symbolic of judgment. I know your works. Love, service, faith, your patience, and as for your works, the last are more than the first. nice religious works. Liberty University, cranking out conservative thinking people, and all this other stuff. You're doing great works, but there's corruption. One of the things they asked that lifeguard, and probably to just show the hypocrisy, he said, were they trying to tell you about the Bible and religion and stuff? No, it wasn't religion. It was just full on everything. All the conversations were all on this lust fest. Crazy. Absolutely tragically crazy. And so what happened is nepotism, which is really a curse in the church today. You know, I would assume Jerry Falwell Sr. saw there was a lack of integrity of his son. What should have happened? What should have happened is we got to find somebody with integrity to run the university, not somebody with a Falwell name. That's what should have happened. And all across the country, pastors' kids are becoming pastors. And a friend of mine have been watching some of it and just going, that was absolutely the worst decision they could have made. The senior was a solid servant of God and teacher of the Word of God, but they wanted their son in there, and the son is corrupt, a wolf in sheep's clothing, coming and destroying the church. And see, everything that we do should be based on the truth of God's Word and what we're doing, or the God of, eyes of fire and feet of bronze. And then look at the destruction that happens as a result. Nice religious works and conservative thinking and hospitals, food banks, charities mean nothing. If that's, that's a work that doesn't have with it service to Jesus, the gospel of Jesus. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you because you allow that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, call it a Christian leader, wife of a Christian leader, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and eat such things sacrificed to idols. Let's turn to 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 4. Got to learn a little bit about Jezebel. Now, of course, for those who have been around for a while, you listen to Pastor Kevin say, read the Bible in a year. Have been doing that for years, and so you know all about Jezebel. But some might not know. And, one thing I just looked up today, and I was guessing what the facts show. Did you know that you can Google popularity of names? You can say popularity of the name Jezebel in America. And you can research it yourself. I did it for this study. From 1880 to 1985, every one of those years is less than five in the country, people that call their daughters Jezebel, except for one that had five. And in 2010, there was 36. Now, you know what my guess was before I checked? Is it would have been zero for a long time. And that it would be a constant line up as our culture gets further away from God, more in love with Satan, more in love with witchcraft and Wiccan. Because people don't want to call their daughter, here, Jezebel, I want you to go through life as Jezebel. It's like naming your son Sue, as the song goes, for those of you that are old enough to know what we're talking about. So you wouldn't want to call your daughter Jezebel because this lady was wicked. And now what Jesus is probably saying to the church there at Thyatira is not, it might have been a lady named Jezebel, but it certainly, even if that wasn't her name, what Jesus is saying, you have a lady like Jezebel in your church and you're tolerating her to be there. So, this Jezebel was the daughter of a Sidonian idol-worshipping king. And she married the king of Israel, a Jew. Now, were the Jews supposed to marry people, women, from the nations around them? No. According to the law, no. So, you corrupt, you get away from the Word of God. You compromise, get away from the Word of God. Corrupt to the point where you don't care squat what he says. And you marry a Sidonian woman who is the daughter of a king of Sidon who has in his name the idol worship of Baal. He's a Baal worshiper. Well, as the Bible says, don't do it because they'll turn your heart away. They'll turn your heart away from the things of God. All you single men and women here, can't emphasize enough, don't marry a Sidonian. Marry somebody who loves Jesus. but I can't find, there's no guys that aren't into the world and everything. And in the church, I don't find them. And so then stay single until Jesus comes and takes us away. Because you will be miserable if you marry, for you guys, a Jezebel, or for you women, an Ahab. So 1 Kings 18:4. So it was, while Jezebel massacred the prophets of the Lord, that Obadiah had taken 100 prophets and hidden them, 50 to a cave, and had fed them with bread and water. So this Ahab, a wicked man, marries a wicked Jezebel, and we know that she came into the nation of Israel and said, you know what, this country has real prophets that serve the real God, and she's inspired by Satan because she's a witch, we find out. She's an actual witch, Satan worshiper, and she just goes out to destroy anybody in Israel. And Israel's already corrupt. You know, northern Israel, they committed civil war. They split away from the two southern tribes in civil war, and right from the get-go, they're worshiping idols and everything else. So they're always wicked, but they doubled down when Ahab and Jezebel came on the line. Just horrible wickedness took over. Let's turn to 1 Kings chapter 21, verse 23. So just think about this, that when she takes power, everybody that feared God realized, wow, she's hunting me down. She's hunting me down to kill. Could that happen in America today? Could any wicked woman take over a political position and start hunting down people in America? Is it possible they would hunt down Christians specifically because there's such a demonically inspired hatred for Christians? Yeah. And we're going to find out what it was like to live in Israel. The prophets, this one guy took and hid 50 prophets away so that Israel would still have prophets because she killed all the rest of them. There are Jezebel spirits out there. Women not named Jezebel, but they're out there. And you know what they want to do, guys? They want to kill you. They want to seduce you. They want to come in and seduce you into an immoral situation and destroy your life. And you don't want to let that happen. It's an incident report. It's something you sign your paper. Okay, God, I read the incident report. Thyatira, Jezebel. May God help me to not be an incident in the future. That's really what we're after. So here's what happens is Ahab, there's this vineyard. This guy's got a nice vineyard outside. He wants to get drunk on his vineyard. And he goes to Naboth and says, hey, let me buy your vineyard. You know, you have private property, but I, the government, want your property. And so then Naboth says, no, been in my family, going to keep it, you know, take a hike. And so he goes home, goes fetal on his bed, sucks his thumb. Jezebel comes in and says, what's your problem? And he goes, they won't let me have his vineyard. And so Jezebel goes, hey, I serve Satan. We have ways of dealing with this. And so she hires some thugs to lie about Naboth, say that he blasphemed God, which is a capital offense according to the Jewish law. And so some false witnesses come up in the city and say Naboth blasphemed God. They stone him to death. Jezebel goes to hubby Ahab and says, yeah, vineyard's yours. Are we seeing a demonic deception in our country where private property is now in jeopardy at any time? People can demonically say, your property's mine, and if you don't give it to me, I'll kill you. Is that happening? You know why? Because our country has gotten compromised, turning away from the Word of God, corrupted. And now we're experiencing the judgment of Satan being in so many people in our country to then create the horrible future that's coming. So that's what she did. And 1 Kings chapter 21, verse 23, God then talks judgments coming to Jezebel as a result of what she did, killing innocent men. And concerning Jezebel, the Lord also spoke, saying, the dog shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. The dog shall eat whoever belongs to Ahab and dies in the city. And the birds of the air shall eat whoever dies in the field. But there was no one like Ahab, who sold himself to do wickedness in the sight of the Lord because Jezebel, his wife, stirred him up. And he behaved very abominably in following idols, immorality, demonic powers behind idols, according to all that the Amorites had done, whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. So God said, judgment's coming to the house of Ahab. I am going to judge. Now you sit there and you think, well, why didn't you do that the first time? Why didn't you do it just before she kills Naboth? Why not judge? Why not judge now, God? Because even what it says in our passage, I gave her time to repent, but she would not repent. Therefore, judgment's going to come. He let the nation have dealt with it? The nation should have gone to Ahab and said, look, King Ahab, you're a Jew. You're supposed to worship God. You're supposed to worship the Ten Commandments. His law said, don't do this. You need to repent. You need to get rid of this wicked woman who's a witch. And you need to stop this or the nation is going to be corrupted and judged by God. He gave the nation time to repent. He gave Ahab time to repent. Jezebel time to repent. They didn't. Judgment came. Has God been calling our nation to repentance? Decades. Look at the ministry of Billy Graham, went all across the country telling the nation for decades, we need to repent. We need to turn to God. And there were thousands and thousands who would come. Yes, yes, we do. But then, you know, then that's then. This is now. You couldn't, if Billy Graham was able to come back from the dead and have a crusade, people would not come. There's a change. It's not the same. People have made their decision, and their decision has been for Satan instead of for repentance and turning to God, which is why I don't think there's revival coming. I think there's judgment coming. We've had time to repent, and we haven't repented. Turn to 2 Kings chapter 9, verse 22. When I said that Jezebel is a witch, the Bible says so. 2 Kings 9, 22. That judgment did come many chapters later, 2 Kings chapter 9, verse 22, when Jehu was raised up by God. Finally, Elisha went and anointed Jehu and said, who was a general for Ahab's son, Joram, and said, I'm raising you up. Now it's time to bring judgment to the house of Ahab. Everybody from Ahab's family has to die. And so he's on his way to bring that judgment. And it says, now it happened when Joram, the son of Ahab, saw Jehu as he's coming in his chariot to come and bring judgment to him, that he said, is it peace, Jehu? Are you here as my general bringing peace? And he goes, and Jehu answered, what peace? As long as the harlotries of your mother Jezebel and her witchcraft are so many. She was a witch. And you know, there's something to being a witch when you're a powerful witch. Being in South Sudan, Uganda, other places where there's witch doctors. There is in Haiti, being in Haiti, having Andre Luis from Haiti, pastor from Haiti, wrote the book Voodoo in Haiti. And hearing the stories of the power. I mean, when Satan gets in charge of people that are doing witchcraft, they have incredible powers to take over, to deceive, to eliminate people, put spells on people that are not protected by God. And so she thought she would be able to get away with it. 2 Kings 9:30, not in your notes, but I wanted to add this. Something you'll notice about the Jezebels that are in this verse, 2 Kings 9:30. Because after Jehu dealt with Joram, he then goes into the city to go deal with Jezebel because she has to die. And so she knows Jehu's coming with judgment. And she's up in her window of her, you know, however high she's up in her little palace there, surrounded by her eunuchs. And now when Jehu had come to Jezreel, Jezebel heard of it, and she put paint on her eyes and adorned her head and looked through the window. What was she doing? She was doing seduction. You know, I'm gonna get all dolled up and look like a beautiful person. And how could that guy, you know, not be seduced by me and keep me from being killed? Well, Jehu was on a mission that God had given him. He was sick of what he had seen happen with Ahab and the death of Naboth. And so he said to the eunuchs, how many of you guys are for me? And they said, yeah, we are. And she goes, throw her out the window. She fell down. She died. The dogs ate her up, just like the prophet had said. So here's the deal, guys. Be careful of people that put on the paint to seduce you. And this is so real. When I was toying with whether I should share this, but it is something that we have to. I want to give you the education I didn't have as a young believer. When I got saved in 74, and 82 I came to live in this area after getting out of the Navy. So I'm that young in the Lord still. Came to this area after going to Bible school for 3 months. Got out of the Navy, 3 months there. Got through a third of the Bible in Bible school, but then I had to get a job. Came to work in the shipyard and started serving in the first and only Calvary Chapel in the area at the time. And right away I wanted to serve. There was a lot of people coming to Jesus in the church. The church was growing and people were excited about coming. I think Gary was even there. and I wanted to do a new believers class. And so I'm doing the new believers class, getting to know some of the people, and they say, oh yeah, we're living together and stuff. And I go, what do you mean you're living together? This guy and a girl, not married. And so open up the scriptures. Part of the new believer thing is the Holy Spirit comes inside of us and we want to start obeying God and stuff. I got chastised for they went and complained about me getting in their life. And I mean, it was a graceful, loving, scripture, new believers thing. I go, wow, man, I'm going to a church and I get in trouble for telling the truth. And then I remember a time, just around that time too, this lady came in once, first time I had ever seen her. And it's still in my mind. She was a Jezebel. I mean, she had this white brimmed hat and just dressed to kill. And you could just watch the guys go, whoa, who's that? Well, she was a witch. She came in, she seduced people in our church. She brought seduction into the church. And just like the Word of God said, because you allow her to be there. See, at the time, I'm just going, man, I don't have enough knowledge. I don't have anything to. What I would have done today is, Pastor, did you notice that we're being infiltrated by the devil through this situation that's going on here? And should we check it out and make sure that there isn't going to be seduction happening? I didn't know what to do, except when people said, hey, Kevin, go to, there's this Bible study over at that Zeta's house. The Lord was saying, you're not going to go to that Bible study. People got seduced at the Bible study. One guy who had done construction work for me put the countertops in our kitchen in the house that we were building, because till then it was 6 mil plastic top on plywood countertop. He was totally okay. We were worshiping. We were thinking the same thing about Jesus and everything else. He got seduced in ways I'm not even going to tell you. And he ends up marrying her, and he went totally bonkers off the rails. Totally off the rails. Remember when there was that Walmart shooting a few years ago? He said it was because he's a prophet now. And it was because he left the town that he wasn't able to put his force field as a prophet of God around Walmart and allowed that to happen. A seducing spirit came into the church. That seducing spirit went to the point where the pastor felt like he had married the wife that he had in the church, the pastor's wife, as a wrong decision because he had had another breakup with somebody else and he just grabbed the first one. And so he married the wrong woman. Oh, what do you do when you marry the wrong woman if you've been seduced? You look for another one. And so he was deciding that I've got to leave my wife and leave the church. And I went to go talk to him. I went to go down to California. When I got the phone call on a Wednesday night, because I'm covering for him on a Wednesday night service, and his brother-in-law said to me, just got a call from him, and he's been down in California and just taken a vacation, but decided he's going to come back, leave his wife, and leave the church. And I'm just realizing, wow. Marriages are going to be destroyed, hypocrisy, the witness, and everything else that's going on in this church. And when he and I were planning to go visit her mom, and I said, I'm going to go and I'm going to look them up. Before cell phones, beepers, anything else. All I knew is he had a dad that had a Baldwin piano store in Santa Cruz. And so I got Juanita to her mom in Arbuckle. Next morning, I'm heading to Santa Cruz. That's all I know. I'm trusting God. And I stop at a phone book in Santa Cruz, Baldwin piano store. Walk in the front door, see the pastor in the back door walking in to grab the keys from his dad, grab the car and go. And I say, we've got to meet. And he goes, okay, let's go to lunch. And I'm begging with him, pleading with him, but the spirit of Jezebel has gripped him. And all the things that I warned him are going to happen, happen. Families fell apart, things, corruption, everything else. Did you know people come from California and they think, oh, they're going to come up here and do ministry and everything is going to be great. And you know what they say after a little while? This place is dark. There's a spirit of oppression in this place. There is seventh least churched county in the country. Pierce County, I just heard from somebody, is number one least churched in the country. There's a spirit of darkness. There's a spirit of Jezebel. The church has let it come in. The church has let this stuff happen. And so then he did leave his wife. The assistant pastor became pastor. He became corrupt. He was visiting women on the side and stuff. And then that was corrupt. And then all this stuff that was happening. And it just, and I'm living through this stuff. And I go, God, help us. And you know what? Those incident reports, by the grace of God, mercy of God, I pray it'll never happen here. We don't want the spirit of Jezebel here. And I look for it. I look and just, God, help us have discernment, help us not to be deceived. I don't want anybody here to become a victim of the fact I went to Calvary Church of Port Orchard and I got seduced or I became a victim or I victimized somebody else. That's my mission. It's my prayer to God. Pray along with me, will you? Because there is so much, you know, the disasters that happen, unbelievable. Families destroyed. Back to Revelation 2:20. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you because you allow that woman Jezebel. I think the demonic powers that came in through that lady Zita, I think that just, because it was tolerated, it just did its work. And lasted for a long time, who calls herself a prophetess to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality, eat things sacrificed to idols. And I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. And because God is graceful, He allows time. See, I remember as a young believer down in, before I met Juanita, or actually I'd met Juanita, but we weren't married yet, and Mike McIntosh down in San Diego, he was starting to hear about immorality going on, and he got up in front of the whole church and he says, you better believe I'm hearing about too much fornication out there, and you kids better stop it, and you better just put an end to it. Does that happen today in the church? Do pastors talk about that? In fact, you know, Jeremy went and visited a church by my request that was in the area, kind of the purpose-driven emerging kind of church, and he went up to the pastor afterwards and he says, Pastor, there was nothing about the gospel. There was nothing about repentance. There was nothing to help somebody who is maybe living in sin to get right with God or anything else. And he goes, oh, I'm not going to talk about repentance. I know people that are sleeping together and they leave the church. We're not going to have that attitude here. Why? Why? Because God has eyes of flames of fire. Because God has feet of bronze. Because He sees and knows all. And He says, you, Kevin, be not many pastors, for you will receive a greater judgment. And I don't want it. I know by the grace of God, He'll protect us and keep us from the wicked one. Indeed, I will cast her into a sick bed, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation. Now, see, when is the great tribulation? Future to us. So this is actually, God is actually saying this kind of a church that allows Jezebels is going to actually be seen in the last days, too. I think we're seeing it today. We're seeing the Jezebel spirit in the church today, and God's going to throw it into the great tribulation. When we get to the Church of Philadelphia, it's the one that gets to escape the great tribulation because we don't do these things, because we keep His word and we do not deny His name. Unless they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children. I will kill her children with her. And all those who were seduced, all that, you know, one church seduces, another church seduces, it crescendos. Everybody that's her children will be judged. And all the churches shall know that I am he who searches the minds and hearts. I will give to each one of you according to your works, with eyes like a flame of fire. You know, another poll came out. One in five churches in America is shutting down because of COVID. So 20% of the churches are never going to start up again as a result of everything. And there could be all kinds of reasons. But it's almost like judgment is coming to the church. And many people are talking, even here, praise Jesus for this facility. But you know what? I don't know how much longer we're going to be able to be in a facility, should the Lord tarry. It might be scattering to homes again. Because there is a general overall just shift going on as Satan is being unleashed, because people are turning away from God and they get Satan when they do that. And we're growing up in this, you know, we're living in this sinking Titanic, and we might have to experience some things before the Lord takes us out of here. Now to you, verse 24, and he's talking about the pastor. To the angel of the church at Thyatira write, well, so to you, the pastor, the head over the other congregational pastors, I say, and to the rest in Thyatira, as many as do not have this doctrine, who have not known the depths of Satan, as they say, I will put on you no other burden. So some of the churches were allowing the Jezebels to be there, but some were not. The head guy apparently was not, and we want to be that way too. I don't want to be thrown into the Great Tribulation. Please forgive me for being a wimp. I don't want to go there. So I want to be, and those of you, and the rest, as many who do not have this doctrine, I don't want the spirit of Jezebel to affect any of you by the grace of God. But hold fast what you have till I come. Hold fast like it's a hurricane. Is it a hurricane? It's a hurricane, and you better hold fast to what? The truth, the word of God. And not let it ever, ever take second fiddle to your passions that so easily can deceive you and rip you away from a holy walk with God. And he who overcomes and keeps my works till the end, to him I will give power over the nations. We're going to get to live and rule with him according to other scriptures. We'll see that in chapter 19 and 20 of Revelation. He, Jesus, shall rule them with a rod of iron. They shall be dashed to pieces like the potter's vessel. God, when Jesus returns, he puts an end to the whore church. He puts an end to the corruption of the church. He puts an end to the corruption of the world by the Antichrist. And we were going to do Revelation 17. I'll let you read that, because it talks about, I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement, as God gets rid of the whore church that is making... That, you know, so when the Antichrist comes, he's going to have a whore church, a whore globalist religion church. And she's going to then be betrayed at the very end of the tribulation by the global government powers. And they're going to bring judgment on the whore church and say, we don't need you anymore because the Antichrist is God. They're going to, you know, the Antichrist is declaring to be God. And so they're going to wipe out the Pope, the Catholic Church that has unified the religions of the world. Which, by the way, how many of you watched the Republican convention? I watched some of it. One of the things that I missed was a lady who was, she became a doctor. She went into the, you know, she went into the military, was a doctor. The military helped pay for her to get her doctorate. She served for 20-some years in the military, got out to become a nun, and she was one of the speakers at the Republican convention. And here's the good news. The good news, at the front, she goes, I'm not just pro-life, I'm pro-eternal life. And eternal life comes through Jesus Christ. Right? Now, how many of you saw that? Okay? So the guy who told me, he told me the truth then, I guess. So, and then as soon as my friend told me that, I said, she's a Catholic in name only, because Catholics are not allowed to say that. Catholics are not allowed to say that salvation, eternal life, comes through Jesus Christ, because it comes through the seven sacraments of the Catholic Church. The lie of the devil Satan through the Catholic Church is you cannot even say you know you're saved, or you are anathema, you are cursed to hell to say that I know I am saved by faith in Jesus Christ, because it's got to be through the seven sacraments of the Catholic Church. Now, how many of you Catholics will say, yep, that's the truth, Kevin. That's what you were taught in catechism, because that is what you're taught. And so then I said, she's Catholic in name only. And she goes, well, Kevin, then she concluded by saying, I pray the rosary for President Trump. I go, oh. Now, let's be cautious, okay? Because in politics, everything's good to go, right? So Jesus, I believe in eternal life through Jesus. That gets you millions of evangelical Christian votes, right? And I pray the rosary for Trump. That gets you millions and millions of Catholic votes. And you know what's tragic about that? Is that it's abominable to mix a lie with the truth. There is only faith in Jesus Christ. If you then say, and I'm going to Hail Mary, Mother of God, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, you know, full of grace and truth. No, Jesus is full of grace and truth. Jesus is the one that we worship. Jesus is what came. The Protestant Reformation is being undone by this whole muddied up because people don't know what the Word of God says. They don't know what the different false gospels are. They don't understand the true gospel enough to know the false gospels and the confusion that it's creating, that Satan's confusing people with just be good people and everybody goes to heaven. No, we have to believe in Jesus and Jesus alone. His mother did not, co-redemptrix, did not help her son to save us. And then, you know, I was watching on Channel 9 because I don't get cable satellite and I wanted to listen to the pundits talk about how horrible it is, these people that talk about Jesus. And so that when the, remember the fireworks are going off and there's a guy singing? And for those of you that watch that, and I could tell he had a nice voice, but I was tuning him out because I wanted to hear what the demons were saying. And so, but the singing was Hail to Mary. It was a Mary song. It was an adoration of Mary's song. Confusion is in the church. Immorality is in the church. Confusion is in the church. False doctrines, departing from the Word of God, all this stuff, and we mustn't go there. We have to exclusively keep our heart and mind on the truth of what Jesus came to do, and only Jesus. The Protestant Reformation is being undone. And rule him with a rod iron, I'll give him the morning star. The morning star, you know, and people don't know exactly what this means, but the morning star is, remember when the sun's getting ready to come up, you see that one star still in the sky, which is actually a planet. But the morning star is, you know what? What do you know about the morning? When you see the morning star, you know, oh, the sun is just about to come, right? Do you sense, for those of you that are radical lovers of Jesus, nothing else, Don't you sense that the sun is about to come? He's giving us this awareness in this time that he's talking about in the prophetic word. I see the morning star. I see that Jesus, that I only see the morning star. I don't see the other stars that have gone away. I see the morning star, which means the sun is coming. And that's the way I look at it anyway. Sardis, the fifth of seven churches, and we're going to go pretty quick on this. And to the angel of the church of Sardis write these things, chapter 3, verse 1, these things says, he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God. God doesn't even list any of the works. So you go from corrupt church, you go from compromising church to corrupt church to dead church. And there's no works in the dead church. For I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard. Hold fast. Repent. Hold fast to the truth. Repent of your deadness. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief. And you will not know what hour I will come upon you. You have a few names, even in Sardis, who have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. So once again, the city has different congregations. They have a pastor, apparently, that's over them. And God looks down and he says, some of these are deader than dead, but there's some holding on to the truth. And they have white robes of righteousness. I want Jesus' white robes of righteousness. that I'm wearing when he comes, no matter what anybody else is doing. He who overcomes shall be clothed in the white garments, and I will not blot his name from the book of life. Does everybody aspire to that too? Don't want your name written out of the book of life, pulled out of the book of life. But I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. But you're dead. What is it? What is a dead church? Is a dead church anything that's under 500, 1,000 people? That's American dead church. American dead church, you don't have enough numbers. No, a dead church is, what did God birth the church for? What's the alive church supposed to do? Become discipled into the truth and share the gospel, spreading the gospel to all the nations of the world. All authority has been given to me, Matthew 28. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And has the church lost that? Locally, there's a lot of these emerging churches, the same churches that say, oh, we're not going to teach about repentance because people leave the church. They're into baptism because then, now we're doing the first century church. And they'll baptize goats and cats and anything else because they don't care a squat if you know Jesus. And I know that as a fact. Because I had a friend going to that church and he grieved over the fact that they encouraged his dad to get baptized, and his dad got baptized, who had no intention of repenting of his self-centered life and rejection of Jesus as a Savior.
What church?
Huh?
What church?
Oh, did I forget? Any church that's into baptism without repentance is what's talked about here. Say that you have life, but you're not giving life. For me to get saved, I had, praise Jesus, the church said, Kevin, you need to repent. You need to repent of rebellion against God. You're living your life for yourself and living a life of sin. And you need to get right with Jesus and let him be on the throne of your life. And here's a Bible and you got to read it. And you got to confess your sins to God and say, God, forgive me, a sinner. And only then will we baptize you. Oh, I'm so thankful. What happened? And so, and even John the Baptist, when the scribes and Pharisees, he says, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come, therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance? Somebody from another state gave me an article about L.A. out of the L.A. Times, that there was, in the middle of COVID, all these hundreds of people, and they were going down to the beach to be baptized. I read the article, nothing about Jesus, nothing about repentance. People testifying, I just came down here, and the people said they're baptizing, I decided to get baptized. But see, the article is, a Christian revival. There's no Christian revival without repentance, and it's all about Jesus. It's not about being baptized. And then I'll close with this, and we'll pick up about the being watchful and thief in the night, come as a thief next week. But this is an article where God says in Revelation, I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. And here's an article, Church Names and Marketing. Have you noticed how many churches have changed their names? This is by David Epps, November 13, 2019, from thecitizen.com. In 2017, Shane Morris, writing for The Federalist, presented an article on what he called hilariously trendy church names. I'm assuming the leaders of these congregations wanted to be seen as hip by their target audience. Some were what he termed random word churches. Among these were City Hope, Cornerstone, Create Church, Destiny City Church, Dream City Church, Intersect Church, Elevate Church, Elevate Life Church, Lightbridge Church, Compass Church, Reality Church, and Rise New Life Church. Throw that in there. So I see that you have names. We're Intersect Church. We're this church. They become trendy with the world, but you're dead because you won't even tell people they need Jesus. And if they don't have Jesus, they're going to be separated from him forever in a place called hell. You won't tell them that. You won't tell them to leave your life. You're saying, come here, be a whatever my life church name is. We say we have life. And be with us, get baptized, and you can do what you want to do. No, you can't. You have to truly get born again. You have to get the Holy Spirit inside of you. You have to surrender to the God and the creator of the universe. He doesn't take you in as a family member. He doesn't take you as a son and daughter of God just because you got baptized at church. It has a fancy name. It's because you truly came in contact with the true God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And you realize the depravity of your soul, and you're grieved by the wickedness of your actions and your rebellion against him. And you just say, God, save me, a sinner. Got to be watchful. Strengthen the things which remain, or we die. Times are ending. Yeah, we're getting with it. There's not time to mess around. We got to be right with God. So, I was going to show a video we'll do next week, and or maybe 2 weeks from now. And also, I was going to read a Jan Markell article that I'll read also. Weary Remnant Watchmen was going to be my conclusion, but we're out of time. And we did have that article a while ago, and we'll emphasize that next week. But I really do want to provide an opportunity. Anybody here that's been coming here and you came here not saved, you know you're not saved or have not been saved, and you say, I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to truly make this the day that I publicly proclaim to the people here, I want Jesus as my Savior. If anybody here wants to do that, I want to give you the opportunity. Raise your hand. Anybody? Okay. So, that means everybody here is already saved. That would be a praise Jesus. Or people are still not quite courageous enough to take a hand raised for Jesus. If that's the case, I beg you, keep seeking after God. He says, you seek me, you'll find me when you seek me with your whole heart. And someday, that Holy Spirit is going to grab you and say, now is the day. Wherever it is, whether you're here, you're at home, you've been reading your Bible, just don't ignore that tug of the Holy Spirit. Get on your knees and say, God, forgive me. And you'll sense the power of God come inside of you and change you. You'll become an adopted child of God. There's not much time to do so. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you love us, that you have been giving this world, your human creation, time to repent. And Lord, I sense, and many others also, that as you did with your Jewish people and other times in history, your patience, your long suffering wears out, and it's time for judgment. And God, as it seems like the whole world is ripe for peace being taken from the world and being thrown into the time of trouble that your prophets spoke about, we thank you that you've given us a hope, that you've given us a promise of everlasting life, a promise of going into a place where justice, true justice, really does reign, where you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and there will never be another thing that offends forever and ever and ever. And we get to be there with you as a promise from you who keep your promises. And we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for Jesus and for saving our souls. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's worship God in this song.
See the King when he comes. He's coming in power. All hail the blessed hour. We shall see the King when he comes.
Are you ready? Should the Savior call today? Would Jesus say, well done, or go away? My home is for the pure. The fire will never stay. We shall see the King when he comes. We shall see the King. We shall see the King. We shall see the King when he comes.
coming in power. All hail the blessed hour. We shall see the King when He comes. Oh, my brother, are you ready for the call to crown your Savior, King and Lord of all? The kingdoms of this world shall soon before Him fall. We shall see the King when He comes. We shall see the King. We shall see the King. We shall see the King when He comes. He's coming in power. All hail the blessed hour. We shall see the King when He comes. We shall see the King, Lord Jesus. We shall see the King. We shall see the King when He comes. He's coming in power. All hail the blessed hour. We shall see the King when He comes. We shall see the King when He comes. We shall see the King when He comes.
Amen.
Amen.
Can't wait. Amen. But soon we're going to hear a trumpet blast, the last trump, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And when that happens, we're going to be crying tears of joy. Amen. God bless you. Keep you in His care till we can fellowship again.